Okay, guys, welcome to Game Chat. This week we are talking about Dreamfall, The Longest Journey, which was brought out in 2006 by, what was it? Funcom was the developer. So we'll start off with intros, starting up the top. So say your name and also, like, there's is a group of people. I need to, like, put a precursor to this because otherwise it just sounds really weird. There's a group of people in the game called the Dark People. Is that what they're called? Yeah, the Dark People. And they're known to have this huge library, which is featured in the game. Kind of. I mean, you walk through it, but it's not really like, we're going to the library to look up information. It's more like, we're going to the library to meet this strange white dragon. Woman that's weirdly attractive. So they have this library. So if you could put one book into the Dark People's library, because they collect books from our current world, this current time, what would it be? Starting at the top.
It's me, Franco, and the Dark People's look like they could use a laugh, so I would contribute the entire Douglas Adams collection to them.
Nice. Good. That's a good one. It's a good one. And next?
Madeline, can't hear you.
I think she's still... Yeah, I think Madeline might be having some trouble there. Kevin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. Technical difficulties. Okay. The books that have most moved me, the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. I would submit that.
Okay, good.
The Dark Reach trilogy.
Okay, next.
I'm Kevin, and I don't really have a specific book title, but more of like a subject. And would be a book either on game design or how to write.
Nice. Subtle.
Touche.
This is Chris. Jeez. I have so many that I would want to put in there, and it's hard to narrow down. But I guess I would have to go off of something more recent that I thoroughly enjoyed. And it would have to be Ready Player One.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm walking away from my microphone because I'm looking at my books. My name is Stephanie, and I would say I'm like looking at my books on my shelf, like, oh, which one would I put in there? I'm gonna go with one of my favorites, The Great Gatsby. Yeah, that's my favorite book, so I'd put it in there. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's great. Thanks, guys. So, as I said, we're talking about Dreamfall: The Longest Journey, which is the second game, I guess, in the Longest Journey series. We played the first one last year, which was The Longest Journey, and plan to probably play the next one next year, which is the Dreamfall chapters. Which kind of, I think, might close out the series. I don't think they've actually said that it's going to close out the series, but it's what we have so far. So as I said, it came out in 2006. Just to give everyone, since it's a more dated game, just to give everyone kind of an idea of what else came out in 2006 as we're discussing this, you have, like, Grandia 3. You had The Sims 2 open for business. So I'm guessing around that time The Sims 2 came out. Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out that year, Kingdom Hearts 2, Final Fantasy 11, Call of Duty 3, and Legend of Zelda: The Twilight Princess, among others. The systems at the time were PSP, PS2, and Xbox 360, as well, of course, PC. Guys.
Where do you start?
You know, I would give a preface for like what the last game was about, but I don't really necessarily remember. It was about a character, April Ryan. She found out that she's a shifter, that she could shift between her world, which is kind of a futuristic art. I don't know if it's even a considered futuristic art.
It's so, the world of technology.
Yeah, the world of technology, and Arcadia is the world of magic, basically.
Yes. Okay. So she can shift between the two worlds, world of technology, world of magic. And kind of comes across different races there and different scenarios in the world of magic that is very unfamiliar to her. Things happen. Things go wrong. It ends up that April Ryan ended up staying in the world of magic and not in the world that she came from. Yeah. So in this game, though, we're not playing as April Ryan. We're playing as Zoe Stark. Who is in Arcadia. So she's in the world of technology.
Zoe Castillo.
Yeah, it's just
Zoe Castillo. Why did I say Stark? Stark is where she's from.
Yeah, that's the land. That's the planet.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. So yeah, so Zoe Castillo, who was from Stark. Which is a part of Arcadia? Are they even...
It's alternate universe. Essentially, it's Earth, but Earth is divided into two worlds that I guess...
I totally didn't
get I guess it's essentially like two same-sized planets, just in different dimensions.
There's a whole 20-minute exposition scene in the first Longest Journey that describes the whole thing.
I must have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And it still confuses the heck.
It makes not much sense.
Yeah, so I should have replayed The Longest Journey before I played this journey.
Oh, God, no.
Just have a marathon.
Or you could have just went back and listened to our chat of The Longest Journey.
I could have. That's right, because you can find our chats at thegamechat.net.
Exactly.
Where you can listen to all of our past chats, as well as this one tonight. Whoa. Jeez. Anyways. So, what... Did you guys, okay, so like I also added some info in the information as well. The game was received critically kind of in the middle. Some critics said that it was the gameplay mechanics were really, really bad, which they were. But the story was really good. Some praised all of it. So it was kind of in the middle with that. A lot of people, developers as well as reviewers, kind of blamed the bad mechanics that they were trying to put the game out on PC. Like the original game was just PC, but they were trying to put this one out on the Xbox as well. And so they were trying to do like console-y, you know, controller things that they didn't try to do with the first game, like combat that was very wonky. As well as a few other like kind of maneuvering things, camera angles. You could change the camera angle, which usually was horrible.
One of the worst parts of the game.
I think the combat part was more of a developer or like a publisher.
Yeah, it was the publisher
They make Conan and other.
Yeah, but it was specifically because they were trying to get that console audience, trying to reach a different audience than just PC players. Yeah, so discussion points, guys. So how did you feel about this being well, the developers didn't call it a sequel. They called it a follow-up to the first game because it features a different character. How did you feel this served as a follow-up to the first game, The Longest Journey?
So I'll say that starting off the game, it felt nice because you're kind of back into the world of The Longest Journey. And then the unfortunate thing is you were introduced to familiar characters, but in a really horrible combat scene. That was just really unfortunate, and a really glitchy cape that was all over the place, even though there was no wind. But I mean, it felt good, and it felt good to be playing another, you know, game within this franchise, I guess you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point where it's like, what's going on here? Why, like, you're not, this isn't what I signed up for, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. And also, just as a side note, we have Austin that is also joining us. He just joined in. Okay. So
hi.
Those listening, if you hear Austin speak, that is who you're hearing, I guess. no, yeah, I agree. Anyone else have anything to say about it? We're talking about. Go ahead.
Say what you. What were you? What
no, I was be? Just. I was just telling Austin that we were talking about how we feel that this served as a sequel or a follow up. I mean, to the original game, to the first game.
I kind of feel like. Like how not a lot of people really liked Star Wars Episode 8. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that was what this game is to The Longest Journey. It kind of is really hit and miss, and
yeah,
I guess kind of feels a little bit too far in development and writing time from the first game to have been, I guess, well executed.
Yeah.
I want to leave.
Why?
Someone just compared Dreamfall to Episode 8.
Well, I think that he's saying the difference in between this one and the first one, like how it serves as a follow-up to the first game.
Okay.
I like starting with like a new character, and we actually throughout the course of the game we would get new characters to play as, and then go back to April occasionally. Mm-hmm. And that kind of let us go deeper, from my perspective, it let us go deeper into both into the world of Stark and into the world of Arcadia, since April is the shifter, and so she's kind of, you know, the one in the first mm-hmm. game representing the balance, and so now we're getting a little bit more one-sided story from
each
of the books as well.
Yeah, I can see that as well. Yeah, I didn't mind it as much. Like I enjoyed playing Zoe more than I did April. But that could just be because of just time. I mean, this was made like 6-7 years, or released 6-7 years after the first one. So because the first one was released in 1999. I did enjoy playing Zoe a lot more, but that could just be because of just cultural differences and just dialogue things, because I thought April's dialogue was really weird and strange. Zoe seemed a little bit better, but still kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting. So with that, we'll go with the gameplay. Let's start with the gameplay. So what were aspects of the gameplay that you liked, and what were aspects that you didn't like?
I liked that it still had some of the point and click aspects to it. I didn't like that I was confined to using a really screwy pan view thing that didn't let me click on the things that I wanted to click on. Because I had to very specifically shift my view camera to actually click on things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then other things, since there's other viewpoints and stuff interacted with it, or like in the way, I couldn't actually get to. Like there's a picture in the very beginning of the game that's in the center right over her bed, and I could not reach that picture because of the stupid bed.
Well, that's what the focus view was supposed to be used for. And that's the like one of the bigger issues that I have with the game too, not only with the camera panning or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's just the controls themselves were not intuitive at all.
Yeah.
I would try and get into my inventory and instinctively hit the right click button.
Yes.
Which would pull up the focus view. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. So then I'd hit the scroll wheel button, which would pull up the inventory. And then I'm trying to move around, but focus view is still active.
Yes.
And then I'm trying to figure out how to shut that off and all that stuff. And then to get to the mobile phone, because the icon kept coming up, I would hit tab, because in the last game, tab would bring up your journal and everything. But tab doesn't do anything in this game. So you have to hit M or some other button in order to pull up your phone. And then it's just like so many other different things that just struggling throughout the entire game with trying to get through.
So was there a journal in this one? No.
Well, you pulled up your cell phone and it would show you like your objectives and conversations and stuff.
So. I didn't put my cell phone the entire game because I had no idea that even existed.
And then, well, you had to pull it up a few times for certain things.
No. What I would
you
do
had to
is
pull it up in the beginning.
No. Listen. When I had to pull it up, when I had to use it for stuff, I would get it out of my inventory, and then press on the gear icon when you pull it up in your like inventory from your mouse or whatever, and do it that way. I never had to open up my phone out of like pressing M or actually getting into it.
Yeah. Wait, now that I think about it, since I've been watching Cry's playthrough, since I got frustrated really early on in the game at one of the puzzles and gave up, it was with that stupid egg. He didn't pull up the phone / journal in the when you go into the Arcadia the entire game.
I was like, surely there's something that I can pull up that says something about like what I've done, like a quest, like that gives me some kind of information. But I was like, but there's nothing. But there was, and I just didn't know because the game didn't tell me.
Yeah. I never looked at that part of the phone either. It was just like, I went through the inventory. If there's a gear above it, I can do something with it. If not, ignore it.
Exactly.
Yeah, the focus thing was a waste.
It took me a while. I think...
I dreaded having to use it.
I think that it was helpful in certain parts, but it took me a while to actually, like, want to use it because I'd accidentally put, like Chris was saying, I kept pulling it up accidentally, and then I would just get frustrated with it. So anytime, I think I had to use it a few times during the end because there were a couple of times where, like, she wouldn't, like, for the life of me, I couldn't get her positioned, like, to actually, like, click on certain things. And so I would pull up the focus thing, and that would allow me to usually be able to see what I need to look at or focus on and do what I need to do.
But. Yeah, I think you absolutely had to use it like I think 3 or 4 times, and that 3 or 4 times I got stuck at that point, and like, you know, it's like, oh, I got to use a stupid focus field to, like the door in the underground.
Yeah. Oh, you know, gosh. Don't,
for the for the life of me, I couldn't figure out where to hide. the hitbox for hiding behind the altar was minuscule, and you know, it was just like, oh my god.
I had to look that one up because, like, I kept doing it. I kept hiding, and I would watch him put the code in.
And then like, either that or he'd run away.
Doing this listening, like, at this certain point, you're in this troll cave, which this whole troll level completely drove me crazy. Like, it was the worst.
So
the
worst. That's the point where, like, I gave up, too. So, I had to keep... So I watched the troll, and I saw him specifically put in the code. And then I go up and I try and interact with it. And Zoe's like, oh, well, I'll just try something. And I'm like, no, you saw the code. So I had to watch them 3 other times in order to put the code in. Yeah. And then finally got in, started exploring the area, and then made a turn. And then April would just not move at all. And, you know, like at that point, I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to YouTube and watching the rest of the game.
Before I sacrifice a piece of computer equipment to this.
You know, not to mention, too, before that, Damien kept glitching my game because he can't walk through doors.
Damien. Yeah, that was...
Wait, Damien is...
The blonde guy.
that works at Glory Corp.
Kevin, you want to say something about the troll cave or something? You were trying to say something.
Oh, I gave up before the troll cave.
Yeah.
Okay. I gave up the first after the first time you meet the trolls, once you get up to the top of thing.
Yeah.
And then you're in that cave where you hear like a squeaking bat. I'm like, am I going to have to like go and swing on a vine or something? And it's like, no, you have to go and like go down and get the egg, which I found out from watching a playthrough. But I'm like, that's the most like unintuitive thing ever.
That's the first time I had to look at a walkthrough. What to do, because I got the top of the cave and I didn't have the egg with me, because I thought, why would I need to pick up this egg again? Right. I get to the very top of the cave, it's completely dark, and I'm like, well, how, where, what is? And so I was like, I don't know what else to do. I have nothing in my inventory. So I put up a walkthrough and I was like, that.
Well, the other thing too is I had to keep loading a save because the troll was not respawning to open the door.
Oh no.
So it would stand there forever.
Yeah, and it's like I could hear one at one point, but I didn't see one anywhere. And then just like, what am I supposed to do here?
Right.
Yes. There are some glitches, yeah.
No, some is, I wish I could have some money.
the only big error glitch that was in the first game was when you couldn't get into the PlayStation, and then you just had to go and download some obscure patch file to actually get past
it. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But other than that, there wasn't really any glitches unless you like went and skipped through a bunch of parts using the fast skip and ended up just glitching the game because the game was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that picture just posted, Austin. That was me. That was me. God dang it.
There are multiple posts like that when you said that. There are multiple posts like that on the same page.
Now the fighting, going back to the mechanics, like the fighting mechanic, it was funny because like towards the end, it was just really weird. Towards the end, I started getting the hang of it, but there was such a huge freaking learning curve with that.
Yes. Like
how they attack, because like, you know, you would have to wait and then like, I mean, like the best thing for me was like you like circling around the person continuously until they just attacked and then it was just a huge learning curve. Eventually I was able to get kind of
and by the time you learn it though, that's the last fight you ever have in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like there are like three fights in the entire game. It was a completely pointless mechanic that they put in because they're like, oh, we want to like attract more kids or something to it. I don't know. Yeah.
Yes.
I like how the tutorial for the fighting, you learn on the character that doesn't fight
ever. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing too, you know, with the whole fighting thing, and we may get into this later, but when you're in the hotel or whatever they're calling it that's turned into like a slum.
Oh yeah, the drug place. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, she's going in and she's talking to the guy and she's being so defensive.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, just shut up and say that you got lost and that you'll leave and find another way in. But no, she's being so rude to the guy and everything. And it's like, obviously you're going to get into a fight at this point. Yeah. It's like, just shut up and like do what he's saying.
Yeah.
So Zoe actually does. So there is one fight you get in with Zoe, like an actual fight. But it's like avoidable. And it's not something people usually get into. It's with that blonde girl. Gosh, I forget her name. When you go into Jiro, is that what it's called?
Jiva.
When you go into Jiva,
the Asian chick.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Not Helena Chang. The blonde woman.
I know. She also but she had like blonde hair.
Yeah, you can fight her as Zoe, but like a lot of people avoid that by just going around it basically. So
except for Cry, who me and Madeline both watch.
I did accidentally initiate a fight with the dog in behind the flap house. You can't actually fight back. You just stand there frozen because the game won't let you hit the dog while the dog bites away your health and then you fall over dramatically.
Much like the little sentry thing there in Wadi Corp.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
The dog behind the what?
The dog behind the Victory Hotel. Did you have to sneak around?
Oh yes. That stupid dog.
Yeah.
It's
not stupid. It's just sleeping.
I think I got into a fight with it. Oh, that's what I did. As I went back, because wasn't there a ladder that went up to that or something?
Yes.
So I took the ladder back down and went out of the scene and came back in, and the dog was docile again. Because I did the exact same thing.
Oh yeah.
So moving on to characters. So what were there any characters that stood out to you specifically in this game that you liked or strongly disliked?
I liked the little baby dog from Crazy Clara. I think that was the best character.
The sugar glider thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog sugar glider thing.
I don't know if it was a dog. It was more monkey shaped.
It was a monkey dog thing. It was a pet.
You thought that was the best character?
Where was this?
One of the best characters.
The first time Zoe goes into Arcadia, you have to do a million fetch quests.
Yes.
One of them, yes, is to get the blind ladies. My baby.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, that creature, whatever that was.
The bush baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever that thing was, yeah.
Yes.
That is
my baby, yeah, which is like, yeah.
So that's Kevin's favorite character.
I think for me, it was Bonsai Buddy.
Ooh. Bonsai Buddy, who's that?
Or Wonkers.
Wonkers.
Wonkers, yes.
Who was the Bonsai Buddy?
Wonkers.
Oh, Wonkers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I love Wonkers. I love Wonkers. His voice like took me a bit to get used to because I was like, okay, that thing's really creepy.
It was so creepy.
His voice took me a little bit to get used to.
It was so sad because he was like
slightly on the Howl side.
Because he was like,
don't you want to play, Zoe? We never play anymore.
I stared out the window the entire time you were gone and was
waiting for you to come back.
I was like, oh my god.
Okay.
Did you feel so sad? It's like, I haven't been programmed to feel sad.
I was getting like Toy Story, like Toy Story 3 vibes there.
Did any of you bring, so when you fixed the other Wonkers thing, did any of you bring Wonkers' brain back to him?
Yes. I think so.
Because like if you like don't do that, like Wonkers doesn't like say some stuff at the end, like when he's talking to Helena.
Because at the end he's like, "I'm gonna stay with her. I'm gonna stay with her," and she's like, "I think you should." I was like, "Yeah, sit there forever, Wonkers."
Yeah.
Well, just as long as you recharge him, you know.
As long as you recharge. And you see him in the next game, and he's low on battery, and you can't talk to him.
Oh, no.
Yes. I kept waiting for Zockers to go, like, I'm afraid I can't do that, Zoe.
Speaking of things low on battery, Zoe's phone, if you actually do look at the phone, is at, like, 20% the entire game.
Oh god!
And it drove me nuts.
Oh god!
Because I'm like, why would you program it to always be at 20%?
Where were you charging in Arcadia?
Do that. That's
yeah, exactly. Where would you charge it in Arcadia? And honestly, doesn't Zoe seem like the kind of person that would always have her?
No, she doesn't have her phone in Arcadia. She's in Arcadia.
She absolutely seems like the kind of person that would always have her phone at that kind of percentage.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
I'm just asking Reza, like, charge her phone and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of characters, I was just going to say,
Franco.
things were fairly moving along swimmingly. Mm-hmm. Until Kieran. And I'm like,
until Kian?
Whatever. Kian? Yeah. Call him what you want. Waste of spaces. Up there, what? Right up there with a waste of space.
He looked like Buzz Lightyear and a Ken doll combined.
Yeah, like, Ken doll. Very good, Ken doll.
No!
Yes.
So why did you feel that way, Franco? Without getting too much into like the ending. That's its own discussion.
Well, that's tough. But it comes out of nowhere, and it's like, how am I supposed to... Why am I playing as this guy? He's supposed to be this... I mean, I try not to get too much into spoilers, but this super assassin dedicated...
Yes.
Over the top, you know, Sith Lord, whatever you want to call it, you know, and then his turn, you know, his character just didn't interest me at all.
Yes.
That's like, why do I have to play this character?
I mean, honestly, he really, as far as I could tell, really had no purpose.
Knowing what happens in the next installment of the series.
Okay, well, I'm just saying in this
I cannot agree with that, but yes.
Yeah.
Tell me it's not Kieran's story.
Looking at what happens in this game. And I mean, like, he did have a place in the story, but it wasn't an important place. Not like what I had originally thought it was going to be since I was playing him. At certain points.
So one thing that kind of weirds me out with the other characters are, is it almost sort of feels like they were added later on in the development of the game, because Zoe's model is a lot more detailed and higher textured and smoother than all the other models in the game, including April. So
she's the one that you spend most time playing.
Yeah, it sort of feels like they threw the other characters in later on in the game, or let you control them later on in the development of the game.
Yeah, I don't think that they added them later. I think it was just probably a focus on them since she is the focus of the game, to make her the most modeled.
They were going to put her in underwear at the beginning.
Yeah.
The longest journey kind of did the same thing with April, where...
She had the
higher res character skin, whereas everyone else was kind of lower quality. So
And it seems like you should at least have the other playable characters also have higher res models, considering that you have to look at their faces.
Yeah, I agree. So like, how do you guys feel about Zoe as the person that you mostly play in this? I mean, you do play as April later on, but I would consider Zoe the main protagonist of this adventure compared to April from the last game. Like, did you prefer playing Zoe with her personality, or?
I highly prefer Zoe. Mm-hmm.
I preferred April.
Yeah. I don't know. As I said before, as I said before in the chat here, that it just felt like she was so poorly written a lot of times, where it's just some of the things were just, it felt like she was written to just not listen to people and just be there to complain the whole time.
Like, she's very whiny.
You know, like I said, with the fight in the hotel there, where it's like, just shut up and just play along. There were a few other times where she's just like pressing her luck. I can't even remember the examples there. And then there was also like the whole completely awkward elevator ride.
I screenshotted I made a screenshot of that because it is one of like the most honestly written parts of the game. Because no matter who you are, you would be awkward in that elevator ride.
It's like, did they really need to put that in the game?
She was
kind of like it was a fun scene, but then also I'm like, why, you know, like I think they kind of extended out a little bit farther than it needed to be.
Just clear my throat.
added some extra dialogue that didn't really need to be there.
Oh, the lady's like, yeah, you don't talk to people around here.
And then yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I liked Zoe. There was one. I mean, I definitely liked playing Zoe better than April. There were a few things with Zoe that I was kind of like, I don't. Because see, I found April more whiny than Zoe. Kind of like, I don't know, like there was some weird things.
But
there,
she did stay consistent.
Yeah.
As a character.
Oh, I thought Zoe stayed consistent.
Zoe was consistent.
Yeah.
But Zoe, it doesn't go fully into the end, but in like the last chapter, she ends up going from the factory in Russia. She goes home and she's depressed. And it's like, they're playing the song like, nothing's changed, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the doctor shows up and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to be a sad sack and I'm going to change my ways. It's like, why didn't you go and do something after you went and saw all this?
Because she felt like everything she did was for nothing.
But she could have done something. Had connections to people.
What could she have done?
She has her friend who has connections to like illegal people on the internet.
That
character's totally disappeared.
She really wasn't home that long before the lady showed up. Yeah. I mean, well, the lady was there,
but she still she still had to take the train, the thing, all the way from Russia to get back home. Yeah, and just collapse on her bed and be like, I'm not going to do anything. Do.
After I get done traveling, that's all I want to do.
If you remember from way at the beginning, Zoe was like textbook clinically depressed.
Yes, for sure.
And they're like, the thing that we should do to fix you is give you a mythical adventure.
Yeah.
And that definitely won't overtax your already overstimulated emotional. Yeah. No.
Not at all.
And so... Is it any wonder that she wants to be like, at the end?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
she was done.
Well, just to change it, I was never so happy to see another character was when Crow popped up.
Yes.
I liked some of his humor in this, but then other parts of it just felt really vulgar. But a lot more of the writing in this game was really vulgar, like especially with Pete's. And when he was talking about eating Reza's dreams, and I'm like, I don't really want to hear about this at all.
That was purposeful, though. Some of this was for laughs, but that was like supposed to give you the grody feels. So, that did its job.
Yes,
but Crow was the best line for Crow.
Even so, I don't think it. I don't feel it had to go that far into detail.
I actually disagree with this game being. To be honest, I felt like the dialogue in the last one was like, I guess, vulgar to the point of being just like not needed at times. Mm-hmm. And this one, I felt like everything was there for purpose. Like there are definitely problems that I have with the game, but like the decisions on the writing, like I thought they were all brilliant. So
yeah.
Frank, tell us about Crow.
Yes.
But the best line is when they're on the airship and he's talking about his, I just, left my fiance and went on a soul searching and describes the whole process. And it's like, and he sums it up perfectly, sort of a douche for the soul.
I literally screenshotted that. And I'm like, what? Like, because Crow's humor just, I don't like.
I think it kind of fit his character.
What I remember, didn't go that far.
I mean, this whole game had moments like that. So
the returning wizard that was locked in the calculator. I can't remember his name.
The quote unquote reformed wizard.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
he is also in the next game.
Great.
Well, thank God.
It's still a horrible, horrible
Roper
person.
Roper Clax.
Roper Clax. Thank God for Roper Clax. And what was the Bob, the beggar Bob, or the intermediate Bob? What was his full title?
Theoretically Blind.
Yeah, Theoretically Blind. I'm theoretically.
I said that this game was theoretically good.
So how did you guys feel about changing in between the, like, changing control of characters in between April, Zoe, and Kian?
Kian. If they got rid of Kian, I would have been happy.
Yeah. Okay.
If they had had any transition into Kian, it would have made it so much better.
Yeah.
But instead, it was just like,
bam,
left turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's Kian.
Right. And let me kill people indiscriminately.
Let me say, like, Kian maybe made little sense sometimes in this game, but, like, it was really a setup for the next one. Like,
absolutely.
It was 100%.
The next one was going to happen at all, though.
Yes.
Then yeah, they knew it was
probably
time.
Not in the same format.
I also kind of don't really agree with that, because, like, I think that you also, just because you know that there's going to be a third game or a next game, I personally think that you need to make characters make sense in the game that you're playing.
Oh, yes, I agree. I'm not saying that you can completely excuse it. I'm saying that's, I think, why they did that. I don't really know. Yeah. So
yeah,
they really, I mean, overall, and I think in all the characters in this, the arc within this story, they're all, you know, April's, Zoe's, and Kian, that their arcs within this game are really, you know, incomplete. It's like, even though this is supposed to be like the middle, you know, story and a three-story piece, mm-hmm. you got to, you know, in its single setting, you got to, like, wrap things up or have some resolutions.
Yeah.
On each character, are you just feeling like, what the hell did I just play 14 hours for?
How did you guys feel about the pacing of the story?
Too long.
I kind of felt that the pacing wasn't great, because mm-hmm. there were parts that, I guess, the really high points of the story were with, like, really good writing were, like, kind of very sparse.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Kian, the part of the game where April is laying into Kian, when you have that sequence between you, like, right after you flip between Kian and April,
mm-hmm.
In the snow courtyard, in the port where she lays into him about the whole occupation,
yes,
and, like, what the people feel and everything, I mm-hmm. felt was one of the most strongly written parts of the entire game, and a few other parts that April had of that nature were really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. preach it.
Mm-hmm. But it was just, I mean, even at that, you know, those two points, that point and the point in the village at the end, it's, you know, it's Keon's turn is, like, just for me, unbelievable. It's like, this guy is, like, you know, and, you know, a devotee, you know, a fanatic. Mm-hmm. And for her to have one meeting on a snowy bridge and, you know, being laid out by April, and, maybe you're right. You know, it's like, what? It's, you know, it's really? I mean, I didn't see any event that Kian witnessed, you know, that he speaks of that you... You know, if you had played a couple events where Kian saw these things, or, mm-hmm. you know, experienced something that made him mm-hmm. change his opinion, but you didn't. You just sort of, like, you know, it's like he turns the script and says, oh, now I'm a good guy.
But but he did experience something that made him change it, right?
What was that?
Killing April.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, that saves her. Yeah. Taking a pike to the chest always saves people. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it did. Like that was, like, the turning point for him, and you don't see it so much in this game. But, like,
he acted like he was at a turning point before that happened, though.
I know. Yeah.
And I think part of that was supposed to be laid out by him arguing with his instructor back home before he left, where his instructor's like, you're not what you think you are, and he's like, we all serve the goddess, and he's like, have a nice trip.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good setup for it, but you never really saw the progression or the came to be.
They didn't really have a whole lot of internal musing in this game, but if Keon had been musing on that the whole time you were playing as him, then I would have bought his turn a little bit stronger than.
Yeah.
I feel like he kind of acted as like, he almost had a childlike impressionableness.
We call that naivety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him.
Well, he was highly prejudiced.
That whole
as he was going through the Aziri, town when you're with him, as you're playing with him, and he was, and you would click on different races, and he would be like, this clearly isn't a thinking human being. Like,
I didn't see any of that stuff. Playthrough, I was more walkthrough I was doing.
You're just like, I just need to, just keep walking.
The walkthrough, he just skipped over most.
Kevin's like, how can I make this as fast as painless as possible?
Yeah, with editing, of course, but he finished it in like 10 hours.
Sure.
Yeah,
probably
I mean,
12.
And not one day before the whole thing on the pier, he's like walking into a tavern, slaughtering the twins, whoever they were. Can you really need to use the exact same character twice?
Oh, he already killed those guys back on the docks, though.
The two guys are in the
but they were the same. Tavern. They were the same exact model as the guys that he killed on the dock.
Sorry, the triplets.
Quadruplets.
The village towards the end had all kinds of models that were the same.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the twins?
I thought that they were. That they essentially tried to make recreate the creepy Siamese cats from The Lady and the Tramp.
In the form of like random.
Of creepy synthetically made Japanese girls.
Yeah, something like that.
Go ahead, Madeline.
I just assumed that they were whatever the dude's name was, that there was like his, be like, I want you to make me some people, but they have to look like this.
Yeah.
Pulled up some porn and was like, they have to look like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly how that went.
He looks like the kind of guy that would do that too.
Now, a lot of the reviewers at the time forgave the gameplay. Well, some of the reviewers forgave like the bad gameplay for saying that the story was outstanding. Did you guys feel similar? Like, were you able to forgive some of the harsh gameplay mechanics and be like, well, the story's kind of okay?
Considering the fact that I gave up. No. Considering the fact that I gave up playing myself, no.
I was going along with the plan for the most part until it started to zigzag towards the end that I really like.
That's very much
especially with the
where I fell off too.
Yeah, where the where April, you know, is sort of like, here's a person who in the game one like was determined to save the world, and you know. Sort of like was, yes, she was a little annoyed that she was being tasked with this, why me kind of syndrome. But now she was, and I don't get why she, you know, the jump that, all right, now she's committed to Arcady and fighting, you know, these, you know, the war and stuff like that. But that automatically makes her a depressed, suicidal, like, I'm going to go in. And I don't care if I live or die kind of thing. I don't get that jump. I don't know.
I think she was trying to find a purpose because her purpose was, you have to bring back the balance. And now she's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now.
And she had that conversation with the Gordon, Dr. Manhattan dude. And he's like, you're done. You don't have to worry about anything. You can go live your life. And that makes her mad. But then it also, I think, to her mind, gave her the freedom to be like, I don't have to stay alive anymore. Yeah. If I have the opportunity to help the greater good, to sacrifice myself so that other people can have their chance to have their purpose, I'm going to take it.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I mean, that doesn't make you the suicidal, like, I'm going to leap into every battle that I see, I'm going to leap into and, you know, head first, headlong, you know. But yeah, I just found that.
She became Luke Skywalker in episode 8. She became depressed and wanted to go and retreat back to her own hidey hole.
It could have been better spelled out for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
If that was in fact what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just as enjoying April in the first game, I sort of was like, I was annoyed and, you know, pissed kind of that the treatment she got in the second story.
Yeah.
You know, April. Just my opinion.
So, one thing that I found, go ahead. Who was?
I was just gonna say I absolutely.
You cut off.
I absolutely forgive it.
Cut off again. Wow.
Cut off again.
Just say the last three words.
I thought that the story was amazing.
Yay!
Okay. Yes. All right.
Yeah. Austin has made his voice heard. I enjoyed the story, and I just said like, well, we're almost where we're going to start discussing the end, but like. I enjoyed the story up until that point, and then I felt that it just kind of just wow. Yeah.
Which
I
went off the rails into the forest, like on the side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And then kept going.
So one thing that I found really interesting in this game that I don't think that was explored, maybe you guys agree or disagree, is the Wata Corps.
Wadi Corp.
Yeah. Like I felt that was a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
That was kind of I don't know, maybe it was explored. I mean, but I didn't feel like it was explored.
It was a bit shunted in this game, I will say that. It was a bit shunted. They do a job of delving deeper into that in the next one.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a bit shunted here, but the parts that were there I really liked. Like, not knowing exactly what's going on with them, like what exactly their agenda is with the whole dreaming thing, not knowing if like Wonkers is evil now, not knowing if Reza is evil now, like not knowing exactly what they're wanting to do with Faith, that kind of stuff. So
I
definitely thought that was an interesting part, but I'm glad to hear that it's explained, goes a little bit deeper into it.
I almost kind of wish like there had been like the even though like if it wasn't really possible because the person that was the head of that company died in the first game, but it was connected somehow to the company from the first game, so you had some sort of jumping off point for connecting to be like, oh, this is a evil corporation that we know some stuff about. But it's like, oh, here's a completely new corporation.
Like, oh, here's Wadi Corp.
Yeah, I found this one more interesting than whatever was in the first game because I don't remember what was in the first game. So let's, since we're closing in on the end. So the ending, guys. So how did you guys, what did you like and what didn't you like about the ending? And by the ending, I'm talking about pretty much anything from probably April Ryan's death on.
Yeah, okay. I gotta say too, when Zoe went to go see the White Dragon?
Yes.
And basically saying how this girl has been telling her to go and save April and all that stuff. And then I think it was the White Dragon had said, it's like, April has been saved. You've done your job there. And then like, that's that. And it was just like left at, oh, she's dead. You've done your job. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. It's like, no, that's not an ending here. That's like not what this whole journey has been about. Like, we haven't done anything whatsoever to help April. Like, literally have done absolutely nothing to help April in whatever she needed help in saving.
Yeah. In fact, probably made her life worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like,
In fact, we killed April.
Yeah. It's like, we didn't do anything. Like, how did we save her? Like,
yeah. Yeah, when the whole thing happened to the little girl at the end, and the little girl's like, oh, but, you know, she told me, the lady in white, that you did a good job and that you saved her. And I'm like, and Zoe's just like, she said that I saved her? Yeah, you saved her. And I'm like, no, we didn't.
Was it? Did she really say that? Or did she just say that to make you feel better?
The only thing that I could think narratively was to be that because Zoe is in the world now, because Zoe has been able to go back and forth between Stark and Arcadia, that April has been relieved of her world-saving duties.
Mm, yeah.
That would be the only thing that I could think.
Yeah.
But they never said anything to that effect.
Yeah. Right. No. For sure. Was there any other parts that you guys liked, didn't like about the ending?
I mean, it made the April, the Faith thing made sense, and it certainly plugged in well. And emotionally, even the part where, you know, Zoe goes back in and comforts Faith. That was, I think, if the movie ended there, I mean, not the movie. Yeah, this game that feels like a movie ended there, I would have been perfectly happy.
No.
Well, kind of. I mean, really. I mean, we sort of get a
resolution. Yeah.
Yeah, we get a resolution. We found the girl, you know, Faith, and, you know, we find out that, you know, whatever the corporation is that's been is she a real child or was she a I heard the word synth used, so I'm not sure, you know, what was her exact status.
Are they implying that both Zoe and the Faith were both synthesized?
It seems like it.
Yes, they are both related.
So, well, they're both related. I don't know if they're both synthetic.
They both were.
Zoe didn't have anything to say about that besides, what makes you think that we're sisters?
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. And then it was just like, next thing you know, coma.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
and then they never fully explain they kind of like just kind of dismiss the whole April and White Dragon being sisters thing. Because I'm like,
because she was there when the dragon was born.
Oh. Yeah. And then the other thing was that kind of it seems like they sort of imply it or something. I don't know. But it feels like there's something going on with the. What's his name? The drunk guy from the first game.
Westinghouse.
Cortez?
Yeah.
Brian Westhouse.
Westhouse. He's like, he's just being all really creepy on the White Dragon.
Show up slightly in the third game. So if you want more Westhouse.
But
slightly,
Austin.
The moment he showed up all of a sudden and was like, "Oh, I'm traveling everywhere," he just kind of felt a little bit creepy or whatever. And then and then all the prophet stuff ended up stopping when Westhouse showed up. So that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. There was so much. Like the entire game, I was sitting there playing and being like, okay, like this is a really frustrating game because of the mechanics, but I'm enjoying the story. This is good. This is all right. And I got that last half hour and I was like, holy crap, as awaits. What? No. What is that? What just happened? And then the credits roll. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's like an after credits scene that ties all of this together. So I sat there and I watched
through the slowest credits ever.
And I got to the after credit scene, didn't explain anything. And I was like, hey, what is going on?
I will say though, I think that when this game was made, the people at Funcom, which is what Red Thread Games is now that made the new one, I think that they saw into the future and knew that Kickstarter was going to be a thing. And they're like, the only way we're going to be able to get it. The only way we're going to be able to get the...
Yep.
In 12 years, mind you.
Is if we have everything 12 years?
As if we have... Yes, as if we have a cliffhanger like this.
Right. Leave everybody hanging. Yeah.
And I think they accomplished their goal.
Yeah. Plus,
now could they? Why didn't they go and remake the second game as well while they were?
Yeah.
Well, the money.
Fix your first problem, and then maybe you can make a better third game.
And then plus, Damien, what happened?
Totally
to
disappears.
Damien?
Yeah.
What the freak happened to Damien?
I can tell you what happened to Damien.
Okay, so he calls Zoe, and or at least the message on the computer, and it's like, hey, I had to leave. Like, I'll try and meet up with you in Russia and blah blah blah. And then she goes to Russia, doesn't say anything about Damien, doesn't look for Damien. Damien shows up nowhere. After I was done with everything, the taxi pulled up out in front. I thought, oh, it's Damien. He's come. He's finally here. No, she just left. She just left and went home. Oh, next gosh. Thing I know, she's in her clothes and she's back in Casablanca, ready to cry her life away. I was like,
because of Damien.
Damien.
Yeah.
Where is Damien?
In this modern world, Zoe's father couldn't look up her 6 million frequent flyer miles to figure out what she was doing.
The one thing I find really stupid, even though they're in the future and they have super fast planes and stuff, that she's only been gone for like a little bit over a week. I mean, like, it at least would take like, they could at least make it realistic, could take like at least a day to fly somewhere and not like 2 hours.
So are you saying that she's been gone too long, or she hasn't been gone long enough?
It seems like the dad says, like, you've been gone for at least over a week.
Yeah. Are you saying that it should have taken longer, or should have taken
shorter? Should have taken longer with how long, and like the dad, he said he was supposed to have gone for like 2 months or something, and it seemed like he was only going to be there for like now, like, maybe less than a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Austin.
Do you want me to tell you what happened to Damien?
Well, no. Is this from chapters?
So it is, but it's not something like you actually like probably like I think 2% like 0.2% of people like actually came across this. So it's like a footnote sort of in chapters. Do you want to know?
No, basically he doesn't appear again.
Like I'm saying he doesn't appear at all. And
what?
Most likely, yeah. So.
Damien, what?
Oh,
it's there's like
a news article in one part of the world that you can find. It's like, yeah.
Okay. That says that he releases the information about the stuff, and he was probably tracked down and killed.
Dang nabbit.
Yeah, okay, and he wrote a letter of confession before his death, but likely fabricated.
Let's talk about other... Is there anything else in the ending that you guys...
Steph, I wanted to say that when I said, clarify when I said, the thing with Faith, the game ended there, not with her getting blitzed with morphine back into another coma.
Oh, yeah, back into a coma. And then Reza? Like, what's up with Reza? Like,
oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
It's fake Reza.
But it was like, that was the thing, though, is that, she's in the coma and he comes walking in and she's like, be careful, Dad. That's not Reza. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about here? None of this was brought up in the entirety of the game.
Reza's just standing there, like, all awkward. Like,
yeah.
When she talks. when she talks to the 200-year-old blob, he's like, Rez is in the dark place. I have right. him now.
Yeah.
And so she's like, are dead. You saying he's dead? And he just kind of laughs.
Yeah. And then she was like, no, I'm not dead. Going to believe that he's dead.
Oh, I can't take that.
And then when she's in a coma, she's like, oh, he is dead. That's not him.
Yeah. And because of that, in the next game, I as me, Reza, and everything.
What?
I'm as mean as Reza.
Yeah.
Because I think he's evil.
Yeah.
It plays into a lot of people's playthroughs in the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's why don't I get the sense it's going to get, you're going to get that whole, synth vibe, like who's real and who's a synth kind of vibe, you know.
It is a lot more cyberpunk in the third one.
Yes. Why is this game have so many why does this game keep putting Zoe in her underwear throughout the entire game?
Well, I mean, with April, they did that with April too.
In April for like reasons because she ended up waking up in the middle of the night and then wandering through her closet. In this game, they're just like, oh, you're dreaming, so you're going to be in your underwear.
Yeah. Well, don't you know all of us females dream in, when we're in our dreams?
Kevin, she sleeps in her underwear. Yeah.
What did you say, Austin?
I said I think she sleeps in her underwear, so I think that's what it was.
Maybe.
Kevin, do we really need to explain to you that video games are made for a mostly male audience, even in 2006? And in order to appeal to that male audience, which was largely straight, you needed to show women
in underwear.
Sexually provocative manners.
I will say that when she's staying at Damien's place, And Damien like leaves the message for her. He's like, okay, there's like, you know, there's warm clothes in the bathroom, and she changes into the warm clothes. It was the ugliest outfit that she had worn, and I was like, that is perfect because a guy picked it out for her.
Yeah,
the guy was like, you're gonna be great. I'm gonna pack her a sweater and a toboggan and you know and
a toboggan.
It was horrible. Yeah.
And four sizes, which was
appropriate. His clothes.
I thought it was kind of hot.
It was so, oh, okay. Well, of course. Okay. Moving on.
But, I just feel like that the writer got like into this story, suddenly looked up, and if he was typing it on paper, looked up and saw like 300 pages, and like, I can spend another 200 pages wrapping this up, or I could just leave this all hang and just
wrap
it up right now.
That's how I felt. Like, it kind of, and I understand. Okay, so guys, I mean, obviously, you know, Austin and Madeline have played the next one. But like, how do you guys feel about, I mean, yes, they knew that they were going to make another game. They knew the story would continue. But like, how do you feel them leaving so many unanswered questions and so many loose threads? Like, I mean, I don't think there was really hardly anything, I mean, at least in my mind, that was fully tied together and being like, this is completed for this game. Everything was just left for the next to complete.
If there never was a next game, I would have been like, and I still don't like the ending. I thought it would have been really, really badly writing, bad writing, because basically the only payoff you really get is you get to see Pete's die. And that's like basically the one thing that's like, yay, the really scuzzy, sleazy fat guy who goes and looks at people's dream porn all day.
Job of the CEO. Yeah.
Yes.
So with the ending, the way I saw it, regardless of whether or not you have plans for a sequel or anything like that, it was just a sloppy way to end it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ending really didn't tie in to really much of anything that you played or experienced within the game itself. Like, it just felt for me that the ending just came like so far out of right field that it didn't resolve anything that we were invested in, really.
I honestly agree.
Besides April Ryan?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yes.
Our story is done. That's
yeah.
Which sort ended of. In a really disturbing way.
Yeah.
Her story is sort of done.
I wanted more April story, and then they stab her in the chest, and she falls into the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting more resolution with that character.
God. I can just say you guys are going to be so much happier after.
Yes, you will.
I understand yeah. that. Like, I understand. Okay, so you guys have played during Dreamfall chapters.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, these things get answered. These things get more explained. But if you're just looking, I still think that if you're looking at even a game that you know is going to have a sequel, like Chris was saying, you have to have, you have to let the viewer still feel satisfied at the end of the game, which I don't think this game did.
Sure. It is hard for me to take it out of context of like having played the other one.
For sure.
Doing that though, I played the first one when it came out. Like, But like there was a 12-year period for me.
Sure. I understand that.
Yeah. And so like, I still enjoyed it at the time. Like, yeah, I thought that the ending of it was abrupt, but the abruptness of it, because I loved I think it was more that I love the world that it created. I thought that was so interesting, like the world of like magic and then like the world of technology and then like coexisting. I thought it was such an interesting concept. I loved the art for it. I really loved the character of Zoe a lot. And I wanted to see more about her. Like, even though the ending was abrupt, like, it was like, oh, wow, like, that's something I totally wouldn't have expected. And in a way, like, I enjoyed it because it wasn't predictable at all.
Yeah.
Like, and to an extreme, I get that. Like, yeah, it definitely was like, if Dreamfall chapters had never been made, I would have been extremely disappointed. But, and I mean, I was even with, like, the 12-year waiting period, I was extremely disappointed. I was like, when I saw the Kickstarter, I was like, oh, okay, fine. Like paid $50, so I was like, I really need to know what happens here.
For sure.
But even looking at it like out of the context of having Dreamfall chapters next, as just the game in and of itself, like I still love it, like I do, and that's, again, I think it's a big part because I really fell in love with the world, and I really love the characters. I understand the gameplay, like, is bad. Like, there's not another way to say it. Like, it's bad. The story has some questionable turning points at time, but like, I love the world, and I felt like the story really worked in it, even if it did take some unexpected turns.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, I felt like probably a half to a third of the body of the story is set up for the next game. And it felt that way the first time I went through it. And so I just was like, at that point, chapters was already out. So I didn't have to wait a whole bunch. Like, Austin did. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. Now I can do the next thing.
Yeah.
So I think if I had to wait, that I would have been like, all right, and there's nothing else out and there's no word from the studio, I'm going to go do other things with my life.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
But it absolutely felt like set up for me from a narrative perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we'll get to final thoughts and scoring since we're getting at the end here. So starting with you, Franco, if you want to give your final thoughts and your score for Dreamfall, The Longest Journey.
Just to start off, I'm going to say, you know, you have to, for the review, you have to put this game in a box and say, we knew what came before it, obviously, because you know about, but we don't know about that there's something happening after it. So the ending, you know, really puts a damper on the score because you're left with this, like, blah, like, what? Ending. And a lot of, just even with, you know, aside from that particular ending with Zoe, you know, being up in the air and all that, all the other characters that you were introduced to that, like, were supposed to have, like, ending arcs didn't, like Damien, like Kieran, and you know, the characters in the village. I think the one woman's still alive, you know, it's like, and the two friends of April.
Yeah.
You assume that the one kid, you know, went down in a blaze of glory, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, God, you're just killing me here. So down the story was, I mean, the story was really going good until it started to zigzag. I was putting up with the graphics and, you know, the crazy gameplay and, you know, strange sensitivities on hitboxes and stuff. And, you know, things you really could interact with, you weren't aware that you could interact with, or at least get Zoe's opinion of, or the character's opinion of things, mm-hmm. like you did with Kieran and the villagers.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people just probably just rambled right through the village without getting, you know, his inner thoughts.
Yeah.
So, I got to average it all out to probably about a 6.5.
All right. Madeline?
It is hard for me to judge this separately based on what I know about the one coming after it. So I'm probably going to do a 7 for this one just because the gameplay was so awkward and gave me a little bit of motion sickness. And the story had good pieces, but awkward transitions. And I think one more brush with the gloss brush probably would have helped a little bit.
Yeah. All right, Kevin?
I'd have to probably say that, like, yeah, the controls were really bad, and I basically only enjoyed April's parts of the story. I thought some of the things that she said were really well written, whereas other characters came off as whiny or didn't really have fully shown character development. So I'd have to give it like a 5.5.
Okay.
So just to kind of agree with what everyone else has said so far, where it's just, you know, they kind of try and get you invested in the stuff, in the characters. Some of them you find kind of annoying, other parts you find really intriguing and you kind of want to continue on with that. I will say that with the, I wish like Wonkers was more involved in this game than this like side thing that you put in a closet when you didn't need it. I don't know. It would have just like, they spent all this time to like build up this like relationship you had with this toy robot.
Yeah.
And yet hardly ever use them. So I think that was kind of a missed opportunity there too. But, you know, again, it's just like, I was enjoying this game as I was playing it. And then, you know, I was going to give it about a 7.5. But as I'm playing it, it's like, well, this is kind of like not good, so I'm going to knock it down a little. And I do forgive the glitches because I think most of them are probably most likely because this was designed for like Windows XP at the time.
Yeah.
And we're pretty much all on Windows 10 at this point. So there are going to be some compatibility issues because this hasn't been really optimized for the latest operating system. So I will forgive that. But as you go along, the controls are starting to get bad. Like there's some other stuff that you're getting frustrated with. So I was knocking it down a little bit more and more. And like I was down to like a 6.5. But then with the ending, it was just like, what is going on here? And I gotta go for like, I would do a 5. But I'm probably going to do a 5.5 just because there was a dog in the game. So, so yeah.
True.
And you couldn't hurt it.
No. It could hurt you, but you couldn't hurt it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I am going to... I mean, I... Most of the story I enjoyed. Again, it was just the ending that threw me off, but... It's looking at it as a standalone game and not looking at it as a, that they knew that there was going to be another one, a third one after this, Dreamfall chapters. So Yeah. Yeah. And the gameplay, there were times that that troll chapter was enough to just make me rage out of my mind. And then plus, you know, they killed off Damien. I'm really kind of upset about. Man. So I'm going to, but I still, for the most part, as I said, enjoy the story. It was definitely an improvement, in my opinion, from the first game. I think that it built up on that story in certain ways, and I enjoyed having characters from the first game come back and being able to see them and talk to them and possibly, you know, enjoy the journey with them. I think April was cheated a bit with her death. But beyond that, it was okay. It was okay. I would still rather be playing this than the third season of The Walking Dead. With that in mind, I'm going to give it, I'll be generous and give it a 7. Austin? Austin threw off the score completely.
I think that little spiel I gave earlier pretty on it. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the problems with the game. I absolutely get the problems that it has. I was just as frustrated as some of you were. as some of you were with, like, the troll puzzles and things like that. Like, some of the puzzles were very counterintuitive. Then the jarring ending, like, I get all that, but I really love the game. I adored the world. This is a game that, like, after I finished it, I sort of just sat at my computer for like an hour and a half and just like thought about it. I think the only other game I've done that with is with the sequel. And so, yeah, that's sort of my feel about it. Not a perfect game, definitely. I wish they hadn't tried so hard to make it commercially successful on, like, Xbox. I think that was a big problem with its development, because they were, I honestly think that the only reason they haven't, like, specifically stated this, but I honestly think the only reason they added combat and things like that was because they were putting it on console, and that was more the you didn't really have adventure games on console. And I think they were trying to market to a larger audience by doing that, and just did a shoddy job of it. Like it didn't need to be in the game, and they've admitted that, but they said it was terrible. When they were working on Dreamfall Chapters, like, one of the first things they said in the Kickstarter update was like, "There will be no combat."
Well, isn't also Funcom the developer of Conan, which is a combat game?
I have no idea. Funcom's dead now.
Well, Funcom, when they did exist, I think they made Conan.
But there are companies that make more than just one type of game. Like, they make different types.
Yeah, they made Conan Exiles.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that there are companies that do make different types of games. Anyways, keep going, Austin.
But
keep going.
They did make a lot more of fighting games and type of stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. All that to say, I understand the problems with it and everything. But I really love the game for what it is, even taking side of the other ones. And I'll give it an 8.
All right. Excellent. So I get these scores combined.
Overall, by the way, though, like, for the entire trilogy.
Whatever you said, it cut out.
Yeah,
I give that an 11.
Oh, wow.
They do a really good job making up for the story in the third one.
Good. I'm glad. Yes. I'm excited to play the third one. Although I said that about the second too. And anyways, I will combine the scores, post them on Facebook and on Discord. For those listening in and for you guys chatting with me, thank you for being here and for listening. Next week, we will start our discussion about Solo, which is a game that's available on PC. I will post a link to that here. But no, it's not a Star Wars game. I'll make that clear to anyone listening. It's not about the movie or about the Star Wars universe. No. I posted the link in chat. Oh, that's not even correct. No, I posted a clip. Okay. So, anyways, so this will be a two-parter. So I think the game's like 4 or 5 hours long. So I still need to play and find the stopping point for that. So I plan to post that on Facebook and Discord on Wednesday for you guys. I'm going to be playing that right after I get done with this recording. So yeah, so we'll start that. And then after we do solo for a couple weeks, I think it's November. Yeah, so November 27th, we'll actually have our November month chat of 2064 read-only memory. So I think it's like a 13-hour game again, kind of like Dreamfall.
Sorry. Just got done a marathon.
Now. Start playing it now and you will be fine. Fine. Yeah. Just, you know, an hour a day, if that, not even that. Yeah, an hour a day. That'll work. Anyways, so yes, thank you again, guys, for this. And you can find us at thegamechat.net. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at thegamechat. You can find us, our recordings on Google Play, Stitcher, as well as iTunes. But yeah, we'll chat with you guys next week when we talk about Solo. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.